It's Money Talking from WNYC. I'm Charlie Herman.
I do not have a super PAC, and I do not want a super PAC.
I'm totally self-funding my campaign, so I don't have to take donors and special interest people and lobbyists.
Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump, this week's winners of the New Hampshire primary. And both men are proclaiming that they're running for president without relying on big money from wealthy donors. In fact, Sanders reminds his supporters so often about their small contributions to his campaign that they can finish a sentence.
And you know what that average contribution was? $27!
But it costs a lot of money to run for president. And the biggest industry to give money to all of the candidates is the financial sector. So when you consider the anti-Wall Street mood of voters who are picking like-minded candidates, are bankers and hedge fund managers freaking out? Well, with me are Rana Faruhar with Time Magazine and Rob Cox with Reuters Breaking Views. And when you look at the results, Rob, is Wall Street asking itself, what happened to our investment?
Yeah, I think they're having an ROI problem, as they call it on Wall Street, which is a return on investment. So a lot of them have put money, and not just Wall Street. Let's be careful here. It's not just the banks and the investment banks. It's the leverage buyout guys as well, the private equity guys. They've put a ton of money behind people like Jeb Bush, and they are definitely not seeing the kind of what they would like to call, like, you know, above market ROIs or IRRs or whatever you want to call it on their investment. And I think they are starting to freak out. I think they are starting to place bets other places. And in fact, you're starting to see some of them come out now publicly for the third candidate, which is Mike Bloomberg.
For Wall Street, this has been a season of political outsiders, and there's nothing more establishment than Wall Street and the sort of Wall Street-Washington relationship that's epitomized not just by Jeb Bush, but also to a certain extent by Hillary Clinton. She wouldn't say that she's an establishment candidate, but, you know, her husband had deep ties with finance, or her husband's administration, I should say, had deep ties with finance. And so that perception is in the air. And to the extent that Sanders, Cruz, Trump all do well, Wall Street gets worried.
So there are two things that you have in there. You have Bloomberg and you have Clinton. So let's talk about Clinton for a second.
Yeah.
The Democrats have usually been able to try and straddle this. We want to sound populist and tough on Wall Street.
Yeah.
And at the same time, accept money from Wall Street firms, from private equity firms, from that whole industry. But now that's getting a little bit more difficult for them, especially Hillary, to bridge that divide. She canceled, or she postponed, at least I should say, several fundraisers with, you know, the financial sector. Where does this leave the Democratic Party even?
I think that this is the huge existential crisis in the Democratic Party. It's not a crisis of the same order that the right has at the moment. But if you think back to the 1990s, Bill Clinton, and to a lesser extent, I would say Obama, actually kind of started to epitomize this more finance-friendly Democratic wing of the party. The far left, the progressive wing, was really not in favor of that. And I think post-financial crisis, with people like Senator Elizabeth Warren kind of gaining popularity, and now, of course, Bernie Sanders being out there saying, hey, there's this left wing of the party that really doesn't like that split, really wants the left to not be so in bed with finance. And, you know, you have to go back to policies, too, that a lot of deregulation happened not just under Reagan, but under Clinton. And, you know, there were a number of decisions made that led in part to setting the stage for the financial crisis. And that's something, of course, that Hillary has to grapple with.
Rob, what does the Republican Party do if the candidate who's leading for them is somebody who often turns his nose at Wall Street or talks about how he doesn't need him?
Well, it's funny. I mean, you saw the results in New Hampshire. You had, of course, you had Donald Trump, who's, as he's saying, he's self-funding his campaign, and he's gone after hedge fund guys for their low tax rates and that kind of thing. But you also had what I like to call the Lehman Bros who emerged. You know, John Kasich and Jeb Bush both worked at Lehman Brothers. You know, they're paid millions of dollars a year. And in Kasich's case, many years he was there when the company went bust. So that's kind of interesting that these guys have emerged as perhaps front runners for the second tier, as it were. I'm not sure.
So there's worry, but they're sort of thinking in the end we might end up getting a candidate that we can work with.
I think that ultimately people want someone who's going to be able to do a deal. And frankly, like, Wall Street guys are pretty good at doing deals. I'm just not sure that they'll be totally tarnished by the fact that they worked on Wall Street or that they had Wall Street connections. It'll be how they kind of deal with them now.
Well, do you think that what we're seeing from voters might actually be a legacy of Occupy Wall Street?
I think there's something to that. And here's how. Nobody in the establishment politically or economically saw what was coming in the terms of the populist rage on either side of the political spectrum because they don't live there, you know? And this is the kind of economy we live in right now. The 1% is up here. Everybody else is down here. Politically, that's the case. And I am not surprised at the amount of support you've seen for Sanders and for people like Trump. I think the rest of the country is just so skeptical, even if they know, okay, Hillary could be a great president or, you know, a more moderate Republican like Kasich could be a great president. They feel so angry about looking out and seeing politicians not really specifically addressing their concerns for not just the last election cycle, but 40 years as these problems of inequality have been growing that I think they're just fed up.
Yeah, I think it's not just about income. It's about opportunity. Some of the candidates have actually addressed this very well, both sides. Jeb Bush's economic plan, there's a lot in there to like. There's also a lot that you'd like if you're a billionaire. But I think this is basically the ghost of Zuccotti Park has definitely penetrated across the entire spectrum.
The fact that we're even talking about income inequality.
And one thing I would actually say about that, it's fascinating. When you look at the race between Bernie and Hillary, Hillary has put forward much, much more detail about what she would do about Wall Street and how she would regulate finance than Bernie has. But Bernie has one message. It's, I am the toughest guy on the street. I'm a Democratic socialist, and I'm going to put these guys in line. And so people don't care about his white papers. They just hear that message. And it's fascinating that with all her policy plans, she hasn't been able to make more traction because of that.
So very quickly, Bloomberg. Is that the solution if people are worried about money in politics to have another billionaire step in? Is that the answer?
I think it's tough. Bill Ackman, who's a well-known hedge fund guy, he's like Mr. Activist, hasn't had a really good year and a half. But he came out with the FT, you know, this week saying Bloomberg is our man. And as someone close to me said, I think that's the kiss of death.
I was going to say, that's not the guy you want advocating for you.
But you know, among the sort of establishment of Wall Street, he is, of course, the guy. They love him. He would be the uniter of the sort of center-right, center-left.
I feel like Bill Ackman is the model for the main character on Billions. I don't think he's the guy you want endorsing your candidacy.
Well, Rob Cox with Reuters Breaking Views and Rana Furuhar with Time Magazine. Thanks for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'm Charlie Herman, and this is Money Talking from WNYC.